kings and princes and queens and presidents and things of that sort have babies, the whole world is watching. And yet God didn't choose to do it that way. God didn't choose to do it that way. God didn't have rank and wealth as his requirements. God had humility. God had purity. God had one who had a belief. When he spoke, she believed. God chose somebody in a different fashion than the way the world does. And God also brought a son into the world in a different fashion than we would normally consider for somebody so important. No one greater than the God who rules the universe. And yet God calls for us to do what we do with humility. And he is also our greatest example. He took upon himself the form of a man and then didn't boast or brag of in his entrance into the world. He simply came in on a quiet night with no fanfare as far as the world's anticipation of fanfare. Now, there was some fanfare, wasn't there? Those shepherds heard the rejoicing in the heavens. There was something to be sounded. We'll look at that in just a few moments. But would you look at me with, look at me. Look at your Bible, Luke chapter 1 and verse 48. There's nothing to look, nothing to see up here, but there is in the scriptures. Luke 1, 48. And Mary, when she speaks, reiterates the way that God chooses, the way that God works. For he hath regarded the low estate of his handmaiden or servant, slave of God. For behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me the one who was lowly. They will call me blessed. Why? For he, that is mighty God, hath done to me great things. He has done into the body of one who could not something great, and holy is his name. And his mercy is on them that fear him. From generation to generation, God never changes. Always the same, always gives his mercy to those that fear him. He has showed strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. Isn't that interesting? Show strength. But where does he show it? He gives strength to the weak. He gives strength to the humble. But he uses his strength against the proud and scatters them. He has put down the mighty from their seats. He pulls them down and exalted them of low degree. Mary, who was nobody. But before God she was. And now all generations call her blessed. And there are many who were wealthy, well-known, and respected in that time who nobody knows their name anymore. But a lowly woman who birthed the Son of God, we all know her name. He hath filled the hungry with good things, and the rich hath he sent empty away. He hath hope in his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy. God works. God chooses certain individuals. Today I'd like for you to consider with me as we go on the tails of that message, the way that God works. The way that God works. We can all say that we have seen God work. We can all say that we have seen something God has done. If you have seen a storm and a house spared as a tree falls right next to the house, you have seen God work. If you have seen a storm and seen how five houses in a row can be taken, the next one missed, and five more homes can be taken, you have seen the hand of God. If you have seen a child come into the world, you have seen the hand of God. If you have read in the scriptures and by faith have understood the resurrection, you have seen the hand of God. You have seen God work. But let me tell you what the Bible says. God says in Psalm 95:9 that Israel saw my work. But the Israel that saw God work for 40 years, God continues in the same passage and says they do err in their heart. Why? What was wrong with their heart? If they saw God work for 40 years, certainly their heart should be in the right place. And the reason their heart wasn't in the right place was because they have not known my ways. Now many of us have said, or I have heard say, oh, it would have been so nice to see Jesus walk on the water. Oh, it would have been something. How could you doubt God if you saw the walls of Jericho fall down? How could you doubt God if you saw and we think of all the Old Testament and even New Testament miracles and say, how could I ever doubt God like they did if I could just see some of those tangible things they saw? You have. And just like them, we doubt. But God says the reason there was an erring in their heart, the reason they went astray in their heart, was because even though they saw all the things they saw and the things we see, is because in seeing the work, they did not know the ways of God, the why behind the work that makes the way somebody works. My children have learned some of my ways. Mrs. Pettit made comment the other day. She was in here. We're straightening the hymn books, Kaylin and I, and she said, I figured out she got that from you. And I said, got what? And she said, Kaylin is very particular. When she comes in each week, if you come in every week, if you even had an inkling of the same kind of a notion that I do, the hymn books and the Bibles are always laid out in the exact same fashion, and when they're not put back, they're put back by Kaylin. And Kaylin does this in an orderly fashion the way I do, so that there is a pattern that follows them. And Ms. Pettit said, I think she must have gotten that from you, because I saw something else you did where you were very careful with the orderliness. My children know that as well. They begin to learn the way I work. And when you learn the way I work, if you want to please me, it doesn't take very much. You just follow along with that. Israel had a hard time pleasing God because they never understood the way, the why God worked, the how God worked. And so if we could begin to see not only what God does, but the how and the why God does, we would then be in a better position to please God. To know the ways of God also does something else for you. It gives you confidence in your trials. Because once you know why and how God works, you can look at your trials and say, hey, look, God is at work here, instead of saying, where's God? Because you've begun to understand and know God. You can't honor God in your activity until you understand God in His. You can't honor God in your activity until we understand God in His activity. Because God asks us to be like Him and to follow Him. Look with me in the Scriptures this morning at the way that God worked. I want to review something regarding how God brought John the Baptist into the world, and that will help us with also looking at how He brought the Savior into the world. Remember the things God did. He took old parents. We looked at that last week. Then He made the father dumb, so he couldn't even tell people of the vision he saw. Then as they begin to get ready for this child's birth in chapter 1 and verse number 59, and it came to pass that on the eighth day they came to circumcise the child, and they called him Zechariah. Why? Well, after the name of his father. And his mother answered and said, not so, but he shall be called John. Now, they weren't really excited about that name, these people there. And they said unto her, there is none of thy kindred that is called by that name. Why would you call a little boy John when his dad's name is Zechariah? It doesn't make any sense, specifically in that culture. And so they made signs to his father. They wanted to figure out if Zechariah could somehow communicate with them what the name should be. And he asked for a writing tablet and wrote, saying, his name is John, and they marveled all. So, old parents, a dumb father, unable to speak, a different name, and then the end of the chapter, chapter number 1 and verse 80, and the child grew and waxed strong in spirit and was in the deserts until the day of his showing unto Israel. A different kind of a training. You got old parents, you got a dumb father, you got a different name, you got a different kind of a training, a desert training. And why would God do this? Let me just give you out of the text some reasons why God might do this. Chapter 1 and verse 63, the Bible says, and they marveled all. When all this started to take place. You know, people forget that God's ability to work is beyond physical human ability. Now, the reason we fear sometimes, the reason we get upset sometimes, is because we look at what we've got at our disposal and we say, God, I'm in trouble here. And then when God works, you know what the word is? We marvel. Why does God do that? Because we forget That God works outside of all that we know. God is much greater than what we know. So many, many times when we come up upon something that is bigger than us and harder than our resources, we should not be getting scared. We should be laying ourselves down prostrate before Him and saying, God, You're much bigger. I anticipate now what You will do. I'm excited about what You're going to have to do because it's beyond what I can do. The Bible says in verse number 64, and his mouth was opened immediately when he wrote down the name John, and his tongue loosed, and he spake, and what did he do? He praised God. Why did God use old parents and a dumb father to bring glory to Himself? God does what He does to bring His people to the place that they can praise Him. Zechariah was at a place of doubt previously. But Zechariah is not doubting God at the moment. Zechariah is now praising God. Verse number 66 tells us a why, or the way of God. And all they that heard them laid them up in their hearts, saying, what manner of child shall this be? And the hand of the Lord was with him. Do you know sometimes God works in order to awaken the hearts of His people? Israel as a nation had grown cold. But as they began to talk about this boy that was born to a dad who was mute until 8 days after his birth, he wrote down the name John. And that name didn't go to the rest of the family, but when he wrote down John, in agreement with what God had already told him by the angel, when he agreed with God, his tongue got open, he praised God, and everybody around there, the verse says, began to talk about it. And as they began to talk about it, people began to hear it and do what Mary did. They began to ponder it in their heart. Do you know there are times that we don't ponder God's truth at all? Do you know there are times that we get so busy with ourselves that if somebody said, what are you thinking about? It wouldn't be the truth of God. If somebody said, what's on your mind? It wouldn't be the greatness of God. It wouldn't be what God is doing. It would be what we are fearful of. It would be what we are worried about. It would be any one of those things. And sometimes God works in such a way simply to bring about in the hearts of His people the work He wants to do. Sometimes it takes humbling to do that. Sometimes it takes making us silent, like He did with John's father, Zechariah. And John was in the desert. Why would God take the forerunner of Jesus and leave him out in the desert? He was preparing him for a hard work, not for a life of ease. He wasn't preparing John to be well received by everybody around. He was preparing John to be used to being different. Why? Because John's message was going to go against everybody, including the king that had his head chopped off. You know, sometimes God works and does strange things. You know why? Because He wants you and I to be different. He wants us to be in a position. Is it hard to be alone sometimes? Yes, it's hard to be alone sometimes. Yes, it is hard to go against the grain of everything that you know. But sometimes God works in such a way simply to get us ready so that He can use us. Look with me, if you would, then, into the book of Luke chapter 2. The way God worked to bring the Savior into the world. Very familiar passage. We look at it at Christmas many times to read. It is the birth of the Savior, but I want you to see this morning some simple truths. Number one, a king's taxing. A king's taxing. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria, and all went to be taxed, everyone, into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David. Why did he go? To be taxed, with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. How does God work? We see what God did. God took them to Bethlehem. But why does God work the way He does? God uses authority, even despised authority, to put His people where He wants them. God uses authority, even despised authority, to put His people where He wants them. Israel in the Old Testament ignored God, didn't they? They failed to have a Sabbath year like God said. They failed to honor God. So God took a pagan king, Nebuchadnezzar. He took pagan nations like Assyria, and he took the children of Israel out of their land into another land. Why? Because God promised them he would if they disobeyed him and did not honor him. God uses authority, even despised authority, to move his people to where he wants to. How did Israel get back? Did they just say one day, we're brave, strong, and we want to go home? No. God took Cyrus, an authority. God spoke through that authority and said, Cyrus, I want a temple, a house for me built in Jerusalem. And Cyrus writes a decree and speaks it to the people. All those who are willing, God has commanded me to build him a house. How did God get his people where he wanted them to go? He used authority. Now, we have here God's people, Mary and Joseph. Where does Jesus need to be born? Bethlehem. Where were they living? Nazareth. Does anybody see a problem here? When did Mary and Joseph go to Bethlehem? When they read the Old Testament, they saw that the baby that she had was supposed to be born in Bethlehem, so they packed their bags and they went to Bethlehem and said, God, we're here ready for you. Let's have the baby. Is that what happened? That's not what the Bible says. The Bible says an authority imposed a tax that required them to go, and then they went. God uses authority, even despised authority, to move his people where he wants them to go. It wasn't the priest that they might have said, okay, sure. It wasn't a prophet of God. It was the Caesar of Rome. How many of us like taxes? Okay. How many of us want to be called to go to Indianapolis this week to write your name, address, telephone number, social security number, children's names, and all their numbers to be sent to China so that they can tax us more than they already do? How many of you want that? See, this taxing was the foreign government God was using over Israel. We gripe and complain in our country about taxes. We gripe and complain about the things that our nation does. Mary and Joseph weren't ready to go. I mean, she was pregnant. Late-term pregnancy travel isn't the easiest thing. And they weren't riding in a smooth car. They didn't have smooth roads with nice shocks and leather seats. But she didn't go until the taxing came. How many people at that time, that the time the taxing was first imposed, how many people were aware of the eternal value of that taxing, do you suppose? I don't think anybody was, other than God. The eternal value is that it fulfilled prophecy. Jesus was born in Bethlehem. That's what the prophet said. Bethlehem, Bethlehem. You know what? God was not only moving his people, God was fulfilling his word. All of the Bible would be full of doubt. It would be suspect if Jesus had been born in Nazareth instead of Bethlehem. Every other part of the Bible, we would have reason to doubt if there was error here. God didn't make a mistake. When God says it, now note this, when God says it, God will fulfill it. It wasn't Mary and Joseph that fulfilled the word of God. It was God who put the baby inside of Mary. The Holy Spirit overshadowed her. It was God that put Rome over Israel. It was God that allowed for that taxing to bring Mary and Joseph to the place. There are so many times that I am appreciative of the representative government that we have. But think with me for a moment. After all the calls and letters that we write, after all the contacts we make, and all the laws are made, can we still go to bed in peace and sleep? Because God uses authority, even despised authority, to put his people where he wants them. I don't like what I see going on. I don't like the changes coming through the educational department of our country. I don't like the changes being made in our military. I don't like a lot of what is being done through our leadership. God is being kicked out and the word of God is being ignored. But can I go to bed at night in peace and say, God, you use authority, even despised authority. I don't have to be grumpy. I don't have to live worried. Because God, I know the way you work. when your people aren't where they're supposed to be, you will move them. God, if I'm not where I'm supposed to be, move me. God, how many people benefited right away from this taxing? Just Mary and Joseph, because the baby was born where it was supposed to. The rest of the world didn't know for 33 more years the value of that until Jesus died, and they could begin comparing Scripture with Scripture and say, He was born in Bethlehem, it's the Savior. It was for me that taxing came. You may not know in your lifetime the reason some things happen in our government, but you can be sure of this, the ways of God. God uses authority, even despised authority, to move His people where He wants them to go. Number two, a crowded town. Luke chapter 2 and verse 7, verse 6. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, for there was no room for them in the inn. Now listen and be careful. I don't want to preach heresy, but I do want you to listen, okay? At least I'll maybe get some attention, okay? What does the word inn mean? Does anybody know what the inn was? No. The word inn is used two other places in the Bible. And it is used in the Gospels when Jesus Christ told His disciples to do something for Him. He said, go make ready that we may do what? What were they going to do together that they had to find a room? The Passover. And that word inn is the word upper room or guest chamber. Now, follow me here. Joseph was from what city? What was his family city? Bethlehem. How many of you, when you go to visit in a city where your family are, go stay in a motel? In the culture they live, nobody. They were all coming home. They were all coming back to where family lived, and families had guest chambers in the upper part of their house. When they got there, the upper part of the house was already filled. Why? Because everybody was coming for taxing. Now you say, why then? It says they were put in a manger, preacher. Right. The family lived on the lower portion of this house in Bible history. At night, do you know what they did to protect their animals? They brought them inside. And the house at the bottom had two levels. One was a raised platform where the family lived and slept. And the bottom, or the lower level of that bottom room, was a lower part where the animals would come in at night, and the manger where they would have for them to eat. So when Mary and Joseph got there, it's not a matter of the motels were all filled and Joseph didn't bring them money. The problem was there were so many family coming in because of the taxing that the main room that they would have used, that would have been a private room, was filled, and Mary and Joseph had to spend the night with all of the family. How many of you want to spend the night in the living room with everybody while you're about to have a baby? No. So here they are. The animals are brought in. One benefit is it protects them. The other benefit is it provides heat inside the house. Now, Mary, if Mary and Joseph lived today and they were people like us, now this isn't in the scripture, I don't know that they had any problem with this, but do husbands or wives ever suggest leaving early for something and one gets ready early and the other one is a little later or slower? Does that ever happen? Okay, so let's say the wife, because it's Mary, wife says, honey, can we please get moving? I want to get to Bethlehem in plenty of time. And Joseph says, we got lots of time, don't worry, honey. And they get there, and the room that they could have had upstairs would be away from the animals, would be a little cleaner, a little more private, was already filled. And you know what naturally happens when you have said, let's hurry so we can get there on time? You don't hurry because someone else slows you down. And when you get there, things aren't the way you wanted them. You know what generally happens? There's conflict. You know why there's conflict? Because we stop trusting that God's in control. How many of you want to be in that lower part with the animals? Having your baby in front of everybody? It was a crowded town. As they got there, it would have been easy to complain. It would have been easy to begin to doubt. God, did you really say we're going to bring your son into the world? Couldn't you have given us a slightly more private location? God, Joseph, are you really sure that we heard? Did we both make this thing up? Is this really what God wants? But wait, if God uses circumstances, then God could even use those circumstances that disturb us. And even those circumstances that usually disturb us should not disturb us. Why? Because God is yet in control. Doesn't God teach us that He does things in a humble manner? Doesn't God teach us that He always meets our needs in just the right way? He does. Even when we don't understand, we're easily tempted to doubt God when circumstances don't go the way we want them to. How many of you in your time growing and walking with the Lord have been in a church service, a revival service, a missions conference, or somewhere where the preacher was preaching, and in your heart, or maybe afterwards at an altar somewhere up front, you made a commitment with God, I'm going to do something because of what you said to me in your word. I hope many of you have. But let me tell you, when you make a decision and you say, I'm going to be faithful to God, I'm going to be in God's house and I'm going to serve God, and then the next time you go, you get ready to go to church, you know what's going to happen? Somebody in your family is going to say, I want to stay home today. And then pretty soon you're going to have company come over on Sunday instead of the Saturday when they usually do. And pretty soon you're going to have these temptations all around you that say, God, did you really want me to be faithful? I mean, I've got all these other things that need to be done, and circumstances are going to press upon you. You're going to say to God, God, I'll be pure in what I watch. I know I shouldn't look at those things. But God, I live in such a media culture that is inundated with perversity, and it's just, Father, it's everywhere. And then when I go to sit down, my family wants to watch all this. And God, are you really sure? I know you don't want me to be opposed to my family, do you? And yet God says, you've got to love me more than you love anybody else. Sometimes when we make a commitment, remember a man by the name of George Mueller, I've referred to him often, and many men and women have followed after George Mueller. George Mueller made this commitment with God. He was not going to share his needs with anybody but God. Now, when you do that, when you make such a commitment, life will get tough. Why? Because you're not relying on anybody but God, and God will make you wait a little bit sometimes. But you'll say, God, I won't tell anybody but you, and it'll be down to the last hour, the last minute when God comes through. Why? Sometimes circumstances are going to come about that God's going to use just to test what we've committed before Him. It's going to test our faith. Doesn't God use circumstances to test faith? Even those circumstances created by a Caesar, even those circumstances created maybe by a husband that didn't get ready as fast as the wife wanted, God uses every circumstance to try our faith. Mary, are you sure that's the Son of God in there? Nobody asked her that. But I'm trying to make this for my day when I face circumstances. I say, God, I thought you wanted me to do this. I do. Would you just keep trusting and keep moving? Wait on me. Number three, and then we'll be done this morning, a shepherd's welcome. A shepherd's welcome. And there were, verse number 8, in the same country, shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. Then why aren't they telling all the people? Does anybody know? This is the work of God. God came down in angelic forms to give a message to a group of shepherds sitting outside on a hill. And He said, the message I've got for you is for everybody. Then why didn't God get a few more angels together and go tell everybody? Why didn't God go to Caesar? Why didn't God go to Herod Why didn't God go to the newspaper media outlets? God went not to the king. What did the king want to do when Herod found out anyway? He wanted to kill him. He didn't go to the religious leaders. Why not? They doubted. He went to the shepherds. Again, he chose Mary, who was humble and believed the message. He takes his message to the shepherds, who do what as soon as they hear the message? The Bible says, and suddenly, there was a verse 13, with the angels, a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest on earth, peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, that the shepherds began to debate. The shepherds began to doubt. The shepherds, what did they do? Said one to another, let's go now, even unto Bethlehem, and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. God went to people who were humble enough to hear his word and actually go do something about it. You know what? God speaks to those who will do what he says. God revealed his message to a willing, humble heart. You know, I wonder sometimes if I don't hear more of what God wants to say because my heart isn't humble and willing. Because I've already set in my mind what it is I want to do. I've already set in my mind the way ministry must be done. And God says, I want to do it this way. But I don't hear God speak because I don't have a heart willing to hear. Maybe I missed some of it. But you know what else the shepherds did? You know, they went to see Mary and Joseph and the baby. You know what they did afterwards? The Bible says, verse number 17, and when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. What happened? This is great. God told those shepherds. This is for everybody. The shepherds went quickly to see it. When they saw it, they did an amazing thing. They went and told everybody they saw what the angels had told them. God spoke to some men who would not only do what he said, but then tell other people what he said. Isn't that what God does today? You want to know the work of God? Maybe the reason we don't hear from God. Maybe the reason we don't hear his voice. Maybe the reason this book isn't making a lot of sense is because when we hear it, we don't do it. And when we've heard it and seen it, we don't tell other people. God could tell anyone, but he chose to tell some shepherds who would be willing to tell others also. Isn't that what the New Testament tells us to do? We take the Bible, preachers told, to teach faithful men who will also do what? Teach others also. Jesus took his disciples and said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. What were they to teach? Whatsoever things I have commanded you. You know, Herod, he might have been a good one to call because he certainly would have made a big deal about it, we think. But notice, what did he do when the wise men came? Here's an interesting word put in there. God put it there. When the wise men were coming and looking for Jesus, the Bible says Herod called them with a little word that starts with a P, privily. Private. Herod got the men who knew and said, come in here and tell only me. And then Herod said, when you find out, go kill him. Come back and tell me so I can worship. Not all of my team, just me. And when he finally found out, he sent out the news, kill him. Kill all the children under two so I make sure I get this child. God could have told anybody, but he told those who would humbly receive it and who would take it to somebody else. I want you, when you look in the Bible, not only to see what God does, this is God's desire, but also to know why God does it. Because if we could begin to understand the ways of God, we could begin to please God, find comfort in our trials, find help in our difficulties, and our faith would be strengthened. Because difficulties would no longer always be walls so hard we can't climb, but they would begin to be obstacles God has set to prove himself to us.